Weighing in with soybeans and a baby show straight out of Norbert, Missouri, we have Soybean Festival. From Hayward, Wisconsin, at 73 years young with the world's largest muskie statue, put it together for Muskie Fest. Finally, packing a punch with fire dancing and a pet costume contest, the Roseau, Minnesota Fall Harvest Fest. One of these festivals could win $100,000 in the Cenex Hometown Throwdown. You decide. Cast your vote at CenexHometownThrowdown.com. Cenex, powered locally.
It's great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you to make better financial decisions in your life. It's my favorite time of the week. Clark Stinks time. I get to hear how I missed the mark for you on the show. Later, I'm going to discuss an important factor for many by credit card review sites. You need to know what goes on behind the curtain, why you're not hearing about the best interest rates out there. I'm going to show you how to get the best deal. But now it's time for the real deal. Where did I mess up?
I should have never encouraged you to speak.
You must think I'm pretty stupid.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right, pal.
In a recent podcast, there was a discussion regarding the purchase of a pug. It hurts my heart that there was no mention of the existence of rescue groups, including for specific breeds. Many people don't realize that such groups are out there. I do not judge, but in any discussion of a pet purchase, please remind my fellow Clarkies to also investigate rescue groups. It could save a lonely animal, dog, cat, rabbit, or whatever, who is waiting for a loving home. I love you guys and have been listening for decades. Linda.
Linda, thank you. And this is extra timely what you're talking about, because during the pandemic, a lot of people were very lonely in isolation and had not traditionally been pet owners, got pets, and now they're like, I thought that was a good idea. Maybe it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah, if you go back in the office.
Yeah, and you can't have your pet with you or whatever. And so rescue groups are the busiest they've ever been. And now breeds that were like really difficult to get during COVID are widely available through these specific breed rescue groups. So thank you for mentioning this, and I'm glad you gave us a chance to bring that up.
I've listened to Clark for over 10 years, but still cringe every time he refers to our elected politicians in Washington, D.C. as our senators and congressmen. He surely knows Congress is made up of the Senate and the House of Representatives. The members are called senators and representatives. This is a small thing, but it drives me crazy. Thanks, and keep up the mostly great work, Frederick.
Frederick, thanks, but please don't call me Shirley. But anyway, I apologize for that, particularly because a very large percent of members of the U.S. House are women now. So to call them, I could call them congresspersons, or do what you said, just call them representatives. And I will try to modernize my language.
I honestly don't know if you stink. Maybe we should ask your wife if that Dollar Tree soap is really effective. But I think a clarification could help some of your users. Your discussion about 4K on YouTube TV left out the greatest benefit. For an extra $10 a month, you get unlimited streams at the home location. We share YouTube TV with my mom, who only ever needs one stream, and my brother-in-law, who at times might use two. You get three streams outside of the main home with the 4K plan, so we have not had a problem one time. We are a family of six, and the unlimited streams in our home more than make up for the $10 a month. Our total bill with the 4K is $83 a month. We're still on the intro offer for $5 a month, so we break it down 25, 25, and 33. Even when it goes up to the regular $10 a month and raises our bill to 88, it will still be a great deal in our situation. Some have said that YouTube has the ability to change the home location, but we have not had that problem. Blake.
Blake, thank you. I never knew that aspect of it, and that's a great thing because, you know, now YouTube wants every YouTube TV, like so many other streamers, wants you to have a separate account for every location, pay them the full freight every location. What you're telling me is that you add on the 4K and you can split that multiple households. I'll look at that.
I'm going to look at that too. I could definitely use that with my parents and my daughter. You don't exactly stink, but perhaps you just forgot your deodorant the other day when you spoke about the Amex Platinum card. You mentioned the huge fee, but you failed to mention that new customers can almost always find a referral offer for this card. Search Amex Platinum referral on Reddit. That actually makes the first year profitable. The current offer looks to be 80,000 points, but much larger offers like the 150K I received last year show up periodically. There are spend requirements with the offer, but anyone who should be signing up for this card won't have trouble meeting them. Thanks for all you do, Pete.
Pete, thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned the limited time targeted offers, because this is true with several credit cards that they're now doing this where they're lasering a specific offer that you can grab that's much more generous than what the standard offer is if you just go to the American Express website, as an example, or this could be true with any credit card. There was one recently my brother-in-law took advantage of that was, I forget which card it was, but he got 300,000 points on that limited offer when the regular was 100,000 points.
Wow. Clark, you stink like roadkill in the South. On your show, you say that you love to save money and love salad dressing and tomato sauce with specific ingredients for health reasons. Have you heard of the internet? Make your own dressing and tomato sauce. It's super easy and much cheaper than jar products you find in grocery and big box stores. It stores just as well in your refrigerator and tastes just like you want it. Love the show and have learned so much from you. Keep up the great work, Daniel.
Daniel, so you were so on the money, and your relative Joe
big fan of the show,
made me some custom spaghetti sauce.
It was so good, wasn't it?
Is heart friendly.
Yeah.
And he can cook. I mean, he is
a first generation Italian.
Yeah. I mean, he's got it going. And so I learned from him and I learned from others. What you say is completely right. I need to get out of the prepackaged supermarket aisle for salad dressing and spaghetti sauce and have homemade.
You don't stink, but when you tell viewers to convert a 401k to an IRA, you don't inform them that 401ks give you protection against creditors, which IRAs do not. I think telling the whole story and ensuring viewers are informed is critical. Anish.
Anish, thank you. This is something that if somebody gets sued, depending on the state, an IRA in some states is a protected asset, in others it's not. 401ks are, to my knowledge, always protected. And that is a very good point, that if somebody is worried about getting sued and having assets taken away, then a lot of states, the claim can also go against your IRA and wipe out your retirement funds in one.
Clark smells like the year-old forgotten food in the far back of the fridge. In a recent podcast, someone wanted advice on the best way to buy out a recently divorced ex-spouse on a mortgage. Part of Clark's answer was to have one of the ex-spouses be the mortgage lender for the other. Bank is in primary position, ex-spouse in secondary position. But he said the risk was if one spouse goes delinquent on the primary loan, the other spouse is also on the hook. He completely neglected to mention a solution from the Clark Howard podcast a couple of days earlier. Apply for a mortgage assumption with the lender. This is a common practice, Robert.
Robert, very good point. I should have said it. It was a flaw in the answer I gave, that in a situation with a divorcing couple, all the lender could say is no. And you see if they will allow an assumption in removing the other person from the loan. It completely depends on the financial institution, the lender involved, and who owns that loan behind the curtain, whether that is a possibility.
You don't really stink on this one, but I need to correct you on an inherited IRA question. The listener was non-spouse beneficiary, and he did not meet one of the three eligible designated beneficiaries, therefore must follow the 10-year rule. The listener must start taking RMDs the year after the year of death, unless the deceased was required to take an RMD but did not take it in the year of death. I believe the listener was 39 years of age. The balance of the account is substantial and will incur a hefty tax bill. You may not agree with this strategy, but the listener could contribute the max amount to their own IRA if eligible, then convert it to a Roth down the road. Can help take the sting out of having to empty the inherited IRA over the 10-year period, Brian.
Brian, what an interesting idea. And if there is a substantial amount of money that someone is receiving in an inherited traditional IRA, the tax code is not friendly at all. And getting expert advice at that time, and there's always debate if at this time it's best to go to a CPA who does tax or best to go to a fee-only financial planner. I think that it depends on how confident and knowledgeable the individual would feel about giving this very specific advice. And as you know, as someone who wrote this in, if you mess up on an inherited IRA, you miss anything you're required to do, the IRS eats you up big time. So you've got to make sure the advice you're getting is completely accurate and thorough. And if it's enough money, you have both a CPA who does tax and a fee-only financial planner coming to a meeting of the minds and agreement on what you can do that will reduce the taxation, just as you mentioned, with a potential conversion into a Roth IRA.
Krista doesn't stink, but she's so sweet she can't tell when something does stink. Clark, I do stink. I remember after this aired, I'm about to read it to you, I told you later I shouldn't have said that, so I'm going to read this. I wrote in on the show about a Facebook Marketplace buyer who wanted my email address to confirm my Venmo account. I suspected a scam and sent a DuckDuckGo throwaway email address instead. Krista said, this doesn't actually sound like a scam. It was. The lady on the other end asked for my email address to confirm my Venmo account, saying that's a requirement of Venmo business accounts. But Venmo never requires confirmation of the recipient email address, only the last four digits of the phone number, and even that's technically optional. But saying it's a business account makes people think the rules are different and they share their email address. When I sent the scammer my throwaway address, I received a fake email from quote-unquote Venmo asking me to log into the scammer's fake login page with my username and password. With the login information provided, money would have certainly changed hands, but not in the direction I'd intended. I'm reading on message boards that this is known and growing scam, and even sweet people like Krista need to keep a critical eye. If you're going to accept a hold or prepayment with Venmo, never give out your email address or full phone number. And when you want to see if you've received the funds, look in the Venmo app itself for the transaction. Don't trust an email or text message alone to tell you the truth. Matthew. And Matthew is so right. You can just give someone your Venmo username. You have a QR code you could send to them. So I was totally wrong to say that, Matthew, and you are so right. And you were very kind to me when you didn't need to be. I'll tell you the truth. You got anything? Or are you good?
No.
All right.
I mean, you made it as Krista stinks.
Sorry, it was. Let's just say you're smelly. I've always been disappointed with your explanations about car rental insurance. A man was being charged for loss of use and diminished value when an elk hit his rental car. You told him to check secondary credit card insurance and then to get with his adjuster. I've researched this in my own life and two different insurance companies that my family has insurance with, and my credit card secondary insurance makes it extremely clear they do not cover loss of use and diminished value. Thus, I always buy the add-on insurance at the rental agency. You made it seem like it was up to negotiation. Maybe some insurance companies do cover it. I think you should make it clear that people have to ask their car insurance agent about loss of use and diminished value before they assume it is a covered service for their full service coverage. Colleen.
Colleen, thank you for that. And let me say something about this. The number of attempts to collect from people following a rental car have absolutely exploded. The rental car industry is under great financial pressure. If you follow the investment community, you'll know that Avis and Hertz are under intense financial pressure right now. Their stocks have been just being hammered because their fleets are deteriorating in value as the used car market is normalizing. So they're suffering enormous losses. Aren't just paper losses, money losses. So the auto rental companies, and I can't speak to Enterprise because they're privately held, but they become much more aggressive at trying to get additional money out of people after a rental, sending weirdo notices of damage to a car or whatever with no documentation, no pictures, nothing, and saying they're billing you thousands and thousands of dollars. Know that when I talk about, in this case, there was actual damage to a vehicle. But when you rent a car, you must videotape it. Take your cell phone and shoot video that is thorough of the interior and exterior of the rental car as you turn it in. If there's anything that's damaged, like a cigarette hole in the seat you are going to be sitting in, you want to shoot a picture of that before you leave the rental plaza with your vehicle. Any dents in it, you want to either have a picture or a video when you leave initially with your rental and shoot that video thoroughly when you return, because these bills are coming in like UFOs. And they, I'm telling you, they're for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. As to whether, Colleen, that would change my opinion and I would buy the ripoff coverage from the car rental company, no. The only time I ever buy it is when I'm in a country that my own automobile insurance and my credit cards will not cover, primarily or secondarily, a rental of a car. A lot of eyes. Ireland, Israel, and often Italy, you will be forced to buy coverage because your own coverage you have back from the United States will potentially not cover you in one, two, or all three of those countries. Thank you, all of you, for taking the time to write the Clark Stinks that you wrote. Today, the Krista Stinks as well. Appreciate that. And coming up ahead, I want to talk to you about something that stinks in the credit card world you need to know about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at Progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I have a warning for you about credit cards. It's data that recently was put together by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that finds that the interest rates charged by the largest issuers of credit cards that account for more than 80% of credit cards in use in the country, the interest rate charges that you're charged are way higher. And I shared with you a while back, there was federal data that showed the average credit union interest rate on a credit card was half of the average interest rate on a bank-issued credit card. And then you take this next thing, you go to the largest issuers. Most of the largest issuers are some of the largest banks in the United States. They are charging extremely high interest rates on cards. And now a number of their cards are topping 30% interest. 30%. So you got to know it matters that you shop for a card. When you look at nearly half of people now are running balances on credit cards. When people take out a credit card, do you know they never pay attention to the interest rate? It's the rare, rare individual that looks at what the rate is on cards, because there's something about us that when we get a credit card, we intend to pay the balance in full, but then we charge an amount that we can't pay in full and we start running balances. And then there are those among us that are revolvers that just run a balance month after month after month, year after year after year. And so the most important thing is what's the interest rate. Well, I saw an item in the New York Times that was really instructive, that all these sites out there on the internet and on social media that are touting different credit card offers, They're only ever talking about, writing about, the influencers only talking about on TikTok or Instagram. They're only talking about the ones issued with very high interest rates by the big banks, because that's who pays them kickbacks for saying, hey, you should get this card. Use this referral code, whatever it is. And every time somebody applies for that card, then that influencer or that website is getting a big kickback. The small banks, the credit unions, they don't pay the kickbacks. So you don't know that the interest rate often on a credit card is much lower at a small local bank than it is from one of the giant monster megas. But you're not going to know unless you go look. And you want the lowest rates of all. Those are usually going to be at a credit union, co-ops that are owned by their members, that the whole idea of a credit union is supposed to be a break-even proposition because it's owned by the people that have accounts there. And that's why the average interest rate on a credit union card is half what the average interest rate is at a bank. So know that credit cards are something that is sold, not bought. Do you know that expression? Comes from the insurance industry. That people don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I should buy a rip-off universal variable life policy or an index variable life policy, or I should buy the worst annuity ever dreamt up in the history of the world. Nobody wakes up saying they should do those things. They are sold to them by a very good salesperson. The credit card market has become a microcosm of that, where the credit cards that most people carry are marketed to death to them. And those credit cards have really pretty lousy terms and conditions. The ones that have much better terms and conditions aren't coming to look for you. You have to look for them. If you're a member of a credit union, you should see what offer is available. If you're running balances on cards, what offer is available from that credit union you're a member of? And if you're not a member of a credit union, well, I feel really badly for you. But you can go join one now and become a member of a credit union, and your life will become so much better.
Okay. All these questions have a theme, and it's potential use of home equity. So different scenarios here. I'm going to start with Greg in North Carolina.
And you know, that's brilliant you did this, because so many people are asking right now about home equity lines.
I'm getting
of
a
credit.
Lot. That's why I'm getting so many.
Yeah, okay. Good idea.
Greg in North Carolina says, we're looking into some home renovations and improvements that are going to be rather large purchases. We're trying to decide what would be the better path, taking a home equity loan or selling off the stocks that used to be our former share builder account back from when Costco was offering that bonus for opening one.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, so these are improvements to your home, which is the purpose of a home equity line of credit, or in your case, a fixed rate home equity loan. And not to sound like a broken record, this is another credit union pitch, because credit unions specialize in fixed rate home equity loans and offer far lower interest rates at much better terms on them than banks do. The best home equity loans are fixed rate 5-year, the fixed rate 10-year, and the really not very good fixed rate 15-year. The interest rates step up a whole lot. So if Greg, this is stuff you could do in 5 years, pay back in 5 years. 5-year home equity loan would be a good choice. Now, let's go to the option, though, of using the stocks you bought through the Costco share builder deal. So if you look at various companies you bought stock in, if you would buy those same stocks today, then they're good holdings you should hold on to. If, on the other hand, you're like, why do I still own that? That company is really terrible now. If they're stocks that you're like, I don't want to own these anymore, then you sell them and at least defray part of the cost of the renovations and improvements from the money that you have in those stocks that you would no longer want to own. If there are ones that you're like, well, I like that stock, but I wouldn't buy more of it, then those would be on the bubble. But any stock that you have bought through the Costco share builder thing that you would just as likely want to buy today as when you bought them through the Costco share builder, then you do not sell those. You hold on to those. It should be based on the individual stocks themselves. As for doing a home equity loan versus a line, I bet some of these other questions will help me address when you do a loan and when you do a floating rate home equity line.
This one's from Sheila in Georgia. Is it a good idea to take out a home equity loan instead of paying a collection agency on credit card debt? I owe about $40,000 in debt.
This is really hard because right now you have credit card debt that is secured only by your name versus a home equity loan that is secured by that home. You're lowering the equity in the home. You're creating more risk taking that loan against your home. The debt is already in the hands of a collection agency. The harm has already occurred to your credit. I would get right away to a credit counselor with an affiliate of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. I find that it never ends well once credit card debt has gone to charge-off status and it's in the hands of a collection agency. It never goes well taking that debt and putting it against the home. If you sit down face-to-face with an affiliate counselor of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling and go over all your finances, all your debts, and these credit cards, they will work out a payment plan for you that will be something you can afford. That's what I would do instead of looking at the home equity loan.
Gonzalo in California says, this year, unfortunately, I am burdened by the need to have my house roof, which is 30 years old, completely replaced because of recurrent water leaks.
First of all, making it 30 years with a roof, that's great.
I spoke with a roofer who estimated the potential cost to be around $25,000 to $30,000, not considering additional costs such as replacement of roof gutters, which could bring an additional $3,000 to $4,000 in total costs. My question is, considering today's loan rates, am I better off getting a home equity loan or a HELOC? I do not savor the idea of getting additional debt, especially since I only have a year left on my current mortgage. However, I do not have sufficient funds in both my emergency fund and brokerage investment to cover the entire cost. I can only cover about half. I do want to have this loan, once granted, be paid off as soon as possible, perhaps within a year. In your opinion, what's my best option?
Okay, so this goes back to the thing I mentioned with Greg. So the answer did come out by the third question from Gonzalo, whether you're best off doing a home equity loan or home equity line. The payback cycle is the determinant. Gonzalo believes that the loan will be paid off in a year or so. That means do a home equity line, floating interest rate loan, where the rate resets as soon as every 30 days. We're likely to see, who knows when, but we're going to see decreases in the rates controlled by the Federal Reserve, which directly impact the prime rate, which directly, immediately, in the following month cycle, would lower the interest rate on the home equity line. So for short-term borrowing, I'd say up to 2 years, a home equity line in today's interest rate environment would be preferable to a home equity loan. You start moving out past a couple of years, then you want to do a 5-year fixed home equity loan. But if you're really confident that your payback period will be less than 2 years, then a home equity line, especially in today's interest rate environment, makes the most sense. And thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you have an absolutely fantastic weekend, and we will be back at your service on Monday. And remember what we're devoted to and what we're about is you learning ways to save more, spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off.